I've entitled this message, What is the Church? What is this we're doing right now? I dare say everyone knows this building is not the church. People call buildings churches. You know that's utterly mistaken. The church is the called out assembly. It's people who assemble together, called out by God. That's what the word church means, a called out assembly. Now, we've been looking in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33 for five or six messages. I want to bring another message next week, Lord willing, on the eternal union between Christ and his church. But notice in verse 23 of Ephesians 5, Christ is the head of the church. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And then we read in verse 32, this is a great mystery. I love the mystery of Scripture. That's what makes it so awesome. Truth is spoken that we would have never known had not God been pleased to make it known. The mystery of the Scripture. You know, this is a mystery religion. It's a religion of divine revelation. It's not something you can just figure out. It's what he's revealed in his word. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What is the church? Now, this word is used in two senses in the Bible. The first sense is what we're doing right now. This is the Todd's Road Grace Church, a local church. Now, there are many institutions that call themselves churches that are not churches. What is the criteria that determines whether something is a church? Well, number one, the gospel has to be preached. And number two, there's going to be people there that believe the gospel. It is that simple. The gospel is preached. Before we go on, hold your finger there and turn to 1 Corinthians 15. If you would ask any of these institutions that I'm saying are not churches, they'd say, well, we are too. And if I would say, is the gospel preached there? They'd say, well, of course it is. Yes, the gospel is preached. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find out how God defines the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel which I preached unto you. It hadn't changed. It's the same gospel I preached unto you, which also you've received, wherein you stand. Your standing is in the gospel, by which also you are saved. By this gospel, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For, and here's the gospel. There's not a more important verse in all the word of God than this. So please listen carefully. For, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. God gave me this. I received it, and I'm giving it to you. This is a gospel of divine origin. This is not man-made. I'm delivering to you that which I received. And here it is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, the thought is not ended until verse 25. But there's a conjunction before every verse saying this is actually just one big long paragraph. But the first point is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, when he says according to the Scriptures, New Testament hadn't yet been written. He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. How that Christ died for our sins according to the way the Old Testament Scriptures present his death. Oh, you can preach the gospel from the Old Testament as easy as you can in the New Testament. Matter of fact, everything in the New Testament is in the Old Testament. You know, people make some kind of division. I love what Brother Mahan used to say. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And when he's speaking of preaching the gospel, it's how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And there's so many examples. The great day of atonement, the Passover. And I love them all, but God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Isn't that the gospel? Not when I see your faith, or when I see your obedience, or when I see your good intentions, or when I see anything about you. When I see the blood, there's one thing God was looking for. Only one. The blood of his son. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The gospel is how that Christ, who he is, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king, the Son of God, the Creator, the one who controls everything, the Savior, how that Christ died. Why did he die? For our sins. Who's the hour? That's very important. Who's the hour? Is the hour everybody's? Did he die for everybody's sins? Well, if he did, he's a failure. If not everybody's saved. And not everybody's saved. The hour represents his elect. Those the Father gave him before the foundation of the world. And if that's not brought out, the gospel's not brought out because his death is not properly brought out. It's how that Christ died for our sins. The sins of God's elect became his sins. He became guilty of them. God punished him for them. He gave his righteousness to his people. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's so simple. That's so simple. And every message that's preached in the church has to have something to do with that. And if that is missing, the gospel is missing. And there's folks in the church who believe this message. You believe what I just said? Do you believe the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture? I believe everything in this book. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I believe everything in this book. You got believers. You got the gospel, and you have believers. That's what a local church is. But in a local church, like Todd's Road Grace Church and like any other local church, you have wheat and tares. You have believers and unbelievers. And these local assemblies grow. And they shrink. And at some point they cease to exist. The machinery may go on, but the Spirit of God is left. The gospel is no longer there. No local church will continue. I don't know when the Lord's going to return. I hope he returns tonight, don't you? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But what if he doesn't come back for 100 years? That may be. Maybe 500 years. I don't know. But any church, at some point, the gospel will stop being preached. What all is behind that, I don't know, but it's going to happen. And the thing of it is, if you can see the wisdom of the Lord in this, because what if this church had been in existence since the apostles? Man, that's the church I want to be in. Oh, you'd find such comfort in being in that church. This is the church. This is the hub. This is the wheel. This is the one I want to belong to. And the Lord scatters them all to make sure we can't find any confidence in being a church member as such. As a matter of fact, I think it's crazy to have a church roll. Because whose names are you putting on it? I mean, you're having wheat and tares. And somebody's going to find confidence. Well, I'm on the church roll. What difference does that make? There's only one church roll I want to be on.
That's the Lamb's Book of Life. The General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. That's the church role I want to be on. That's the universal church. Now, there is the local church. And like I said, the local church is made of wheat and tares. It never continues. And there is the universal church. And that's the way that word is used in all six of these times in Ephesians chapter 5. It's speaking of the universal church. It is all of those who are eternally united to Christ. It's all of the elect of God. It's all that Christ died for. Now, what I love about this church, listen to this, it never grows. And it never shrinks. It's always the same. Turn with me to these scriptures. I was just talking about the role. Look at these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 23, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn which are written in heaven. Now that's the roll call I want to be on. Look at Revelation chapter 13. This is also mentioned in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, and in the writings of Moses. But look at verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, speaking of the false prophet, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Look in Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the names of all the elect written in this book. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Look in chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter in anything, talking about entering heaven, that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now this is everybody who's in heaven and who's going to be in heaven. Everybody's name who's written in the Lamb's book of life. It's called in Scripture the Lamb's bride, the Lamb's wife. You remember when the Lord met Paul on the road to Damascus? And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He didn't say them. He said me. Now, wait a minute. The Lord was seated at the right hand of the Father. Saul couldn't get to him. I mean, he could squash him easy if he wanted to, but he couldn't get to him. I mean, he was beyond Saul's reach. But what does the Lord say? What did he say? Why persecutest thou me? Such is the union between Christ and his church. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's the Lord's words. He doesn't say it's just the same as you doing it to me. He said, you've done it to me. And inasmuch as you've done it not to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it not unto me. Now, the church is the called out assembly. Called by who? Called by God. What an awesome thing to be a part of the church of the living God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Remember, we're asking the question, what is the church? Verse 22, he hath put all things under his feet. God the Father has put all things under the feet of the Son. He's the Lord. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now I want you to think about what that verse of scripture says. It says the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the church is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He, and I wouldn't say this unless the scripture taught it, he would not be full if one of his people were missing. Now this is prefigured when Adam was created, and remember, Adam was not complete until who was created? Eve. She made his completeness. Now the Lord, and I say this reverently, I say it amazed, I say it fearfully, but the Lord would not be complete without any one of his people. The church is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now it's true, we're complete in him. Aren't you thankful for that verse? I don't know how many times when I'm feeling down, that verse comforts me. I'm not lacking anything. I'm complete. I'm plumb full is what that means. I'm full. Everything God requires of me, I have in its fullness. You're full. You're complete in him. While that's true, it's also true that we complete him. And I wouldn't dare say that unless the Bible said that we are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Every individual member of the church makes up his body in its fullness and completion. That's a mystery, isn't it? That's a mystery. That's not something we would ever know had he not made that known to us. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. That's all the elect. That's his body. That's his bride. That's who he loves. And if I make it different from that, I've taken away the meaning of that verse of scripture. You know that probably 90%, 99%, I don't know, most religion maintains that God loves everybody. Now, let me say this. It's not so. And there's a point behind it. It's not just us, well, doesn't love everybody. You might not be one of them. That's not what this is about. The point is everybody he loves, he saves. That's the point. His love is salvation. He can't love somebody and that person wind up in hell. Christ loved the church. How much? He gave himself. He gave himself for every member. He gave all. Oh, what he paid for his church. And here's what comes about from him giving himself, that he, verse 26, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now he sanctified all of his people by his death. He made them holy. And he cleanses them. And I need to be cleansed every day, don't you? I get my feet dirty every day, and I need to be cleansed every day. And the preaching of the gospel is bath time for the believer. The washing of water by the word. That, verse 27, he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now you can look at Todd's Road Grace Church and you can say, what's glorious about that? Look at the preacher. That's enough to let you know that's not the case. Well, you don't see what God sees. He sees his church as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before him. And now he says to his church, he says this to every individual believer, he says this to you. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this foundation, I will build my church. Now, the church is that which he builds. You know, a lot of men have made a stab at it. You know, they even have people that do church planting, and they'll go in some place and they'll plant a church and all that kind of foolishness. That's all that is. I will build my church. Upon this rock will I build my church. Upon what rock? Peter's confession of Christ. The message of the church is, who is Jesus Christ? What did he do? Whom do men say that I am? They say good things. Some say you're Jeremiah or John the Baptist, one of the prophets. Whom say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You believe that? That he's God's Christ? You know, when we talk about him being prophet, he is the Word of God. Prophet brings men the Word of God. He is the Word of God. A priest brings men to God. Supposedly, they just picture what he does. He brings me into the Father's presence. I love to think when the Lord said, no man comes to the Father but by me. That means when he comes into the Father's presence, you know who else comes? Every one of his people. Eternally united to him. What a priest. The priest that offered up his own blood to the Father, and the Father accepted it. And what a king he is. This is, a human king has no power. He has all power. He's the Son of the living God. He's the creator. He's the one who controls everything. He's the Savior. If you're saved, it's up to him. You know, the leper understood this. Lord, if you will. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Do you know anything about coming into his presence the way the leper did? Lord, he worshipped him first. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The only church that is the church is the one that he has built by his glorious work. Working out a perfect righteousness. Paying for their sins. Giving them his righteousness. Giving them a new heart. Calling them by his grace. The called out assembly. Look in... Let's stay here. Verse 19. He says, verse 18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what that means? That means he's going to bust down the gates of hell and get his church out of it. We're by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else, and he's going to knock down the gates of hell. I just love the power of that. I mean, the Satan wants to keep his goods. He can't do it against this one. He knocks down the gates of hell. And when he saved you, he knocked down the gates of hell to bring you out. Look what he says in verse 19. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever, this is the work of the church, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, you know, people think, well, Peter has all this power as the Pope, and whatever he binds here on earth is going to have to stay here. You know, won't be able to get to heaven, whatever he sets free. No, that's talking about the gospel. You know, the gospel looses men, sets them free. The gospel binds men when they try to approach God on the basis of their works and their goodness. You can't get into heaven that way. That's what that means. Our message is a message of liberation to some and a message of binding to others. That's the work of the church. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by who? The church. The manifold wisdom of God. Do you know anything about the manifold wisdom of God? If you know how he can be just and justifier, that is the manifold wisdom of God. Rejoicing in that. If you know how God can accept you for Christ's sake, God has made known to you his own manifold wisdom. Now that's the high privilege of the church. You know, I said this morning, there are many people who would think about how God can be just and justify the ungodly as dry doctrine. Dry doctrine. You know, give me something I can feel. I feel it. I feel it. I love how he saves sinners, but that's the special privilege of the church. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. And this is Christ speaking in verse 12. Well, let's look at verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. You know he's not ashamed of me. That's my brother. That's my brother. He says that of every single one of his people. He's not ashamed of me. That's my brother. That's my sister. I made him so. Now let's go on reading. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee. You see, it's only the church that can hear him singing. Singing the praise of his Father. You know, only the church can enter in unto now unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins and made us kings and priests to God. They're the only ones that can enter into that. The church. They hear Christ singing. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, it was read this morning. The Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now that's what's going on right here. This is the called out assembly, where two or three are gathered together in my name. You know, all I want to hear is his name. I want to be saved in his name. And I'm not interested in anything else. We're gathered together in his name. Do you want to hear what I've got to say? No. Do you want to hear what he has to say? Yes. We're gathered together in his name. The public assembly of the saints. Now this is why church is so important. He's here. Is any other reason needed? He's here. He said that I walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now that's talking about those churches in the first two, three chapters of Revelation. And those churches had problems. He talks about, I've got this against you. I've got this against you. I've got this against you. You see, the church is comprised of sinners saved by grace who are still sinners. It's only the universal church assembled in heaven in their head that is no longer sinful. They're perfect in Christ Jesus. But the church here on earth, it's still folks like me and you. And the Lord still says, I walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, those seven churches. That's why church attendance is important. because he is here. And let me say this, and I know this is so. The most real, glorious, private worship you'll ever have is in public worship. Somebody says, well, I'm just fine with private worship. You ain't worshiping. You're talking, but you're not worshiping. The most real, assuring worship that goes on is in hearing the preaching of the gospel and believing it, and you know you're saved. You hear this message, and you go, I'm one of his. I'm part of his church. I want to look at another couple of scriptures. Look in Revelation 22. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. In the churches. His called out assembly. That's where he testifies to us these things. Look in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is what the church does. It says to the world, come to Christ. Come and welcome. You know, preaching his love only for the church doesn't keep us from calling upon all men, come and welcome. If you come, you'll be received. If you ask for mercy, he'll give you mercy. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15. Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And that's what the church is. It's the house of God. It's the place where his family gathers. And I love the way he calls the church the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, the truth is Christ. The truth is his gospel. The truth is his grace. The truth is his word. What does a pillar do? It upholds something that you can see, doesn't it? You don't have pillars underground. The pillar upholds something so that all can see it. The church is the pillar of the truth. Well, I thought seminaries were. No, you was wrong if you thought that. There's nothing in the Bible about seminaries. The church is the place where people learn the gospel to preach it, not seminaries. Seminaries are a parachurch organization. I don't believe in any parachurch organizations. You know, like the Campus Crusade or the Young Life, all those things. No, it's the church. That's it. It's the pillar of the truth. It upholds the truth for the world to see. And the church is grounded in the truth. That's its ground. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, listen to these names of the church. It's called the body of Christ. This is the church. What is the church? The body of Christ. The church of Christ. That's not talking about the denomination. The Lamb's wife. The Lamb's bride. The brethren of Christ. His companion, daughters of the king, the family of God, the fold of God, the flock of Christ, the sheep, the friend of God, his habitation, the house of God, the Israel of God, the lot of his inheritance, members of Christ, a peculiar people. And that doesn't mean what we think. You know, when we think if they're peculiar, they're weird. Well, there's a lot of weird people in the church. I'm one of them. But that's talking about a purchased people, his purchased possession. The portion of the Lord, the temple of God, the treasure of God, the apple of his eye, vessels of mercy, the vineyard of the Lord, children of the living God, the ones the Father gave him. Now, what an awesome thing it is to be in the church. It's an awesome thing, isn't it? It's a glorious thing to be called out by God himself. Now, I have to say this. I'm going to close with this thought. People leave the church, and people get mad, get miffed, go somewhere else. I hate that when that happens, but as long as they're going to a church where the gospel's preached, I'm happy. But understand this. The only reason to leave a church, the only reason to leave a church is because the gospel is not preached. And at that point, it's no longer a church anyway. Get out of there. And if the gospel ceases to be preached here, you need to leave. Go somewhere else where you can hear the gospel. But understand this, the only reason, well, they got problems in that church. Well, no more problems than you have in your own life. I mean, it's sinners. Well, I've been offended. Well, yeah, you get around people like all of us, that's going to happen. You can just write it down. That's going to happen. And I'm not going to say, if I've offended you, I'm sorry. When I have, I'm sorry. I really am. I wish I hadn't done it. But remember, the church is the apple of his eye. His people. What a blessed thing to be in the church of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.